It's colloquially been called the oldest profession in the world. But is sex work actually a type of oppression? Activist Rachel Moran certainly believes so, and she's addressing a conference of sex trade survivors over the weekend in Melbourne. But is linking sex work to oppression silencing the voice of sex workers, or is it just adding to the stigma and harm against those in the industry? To find out more, we're joined by campaigner and author Rachel Moran. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you certainly seem to believe that sex work is a form of abuse rather than a profession.
Well, first of all, after 7 years in prostitution, this is not about what I believe. It's about what I know. And I know that through personal experience and through witnessing the harm and damage in the lives of too many women around me to count over those 7 years. I went into prostitution at 50 and I was lucky enough to get out at 22. And I saw an absolute tsunami of harm and damage in that time, and have seen it ever since, by the way, because we're still losing women. Women are still dying, women that I knew at that time. So as far as the word profession, it's just contemptible to me. This is not a profession by any means. It's remunerated sexual abuse. That's what prostitution is. It's not a profession. It's an oppression. And in fact, it's the oldest oppression against women in the world.
What about those people who say that they have chosen or made a choice to go into this line of work?
Well, first of all, it's not a line of work. And as far as choices are concerned, what I say is, if you have chosen between two or more viable alternatives, well, then you can say that you've made a genuine choice, a viable choice. But what I saw in prostitution relentlessly was women who fell into prostitution because it was the last resort. Now, if something is your last option, that cannot be considered a viable choice because you have nothing else to choose from. So where's the choice?
Well, that certainly sounds like some scenarios, but
It's not some scenarios. It's every scenario I ever saw, and I saw hundreds of them.
Look, in Australia at the moment, there's been some talk about us adopting the Nordic model, so-called Nordic model, for a legal framework, which decriminalises what you would call prostitution and criminalises the act of paying for sex. We've seen some of the results abroad. What do you think about this for Australia?
Well, first of all, what people need to understand about the Nordic model is that it's a three-pronged strategy. It decriminalises people in prostitution. It's gender neutral. So it decriminalises people in prostitution. It criminalises the act of buying sexual access to another person's body. And it offers exit strategies, that is, viable alternatives. So you're talking about training, education, healthcare, addiction services, counselling, childcare, housing, all that stuff. And I'm telling you now, if people had access to those services, the sex trade would collapse tomorrow.
So you feel that would be greatly in Australia's interest to adopt it?
It would be greatly in humanity's interest to adopt it.
Look, there's certainly been some backlash online about your conference over the weekend, suggesting that it is silencing the voice of people in that community, people who would regard themselves as sex workers. What do you think about this?
I think that it's lucky for them that they have the time and the privilege to be online, because the vast majority of prostituted people across the globe don't even have access to the internet. I spent 3 weeks earlier this year in Sonagachi in India, and let me tell you, these people who are on Twitter and on Facebook haven't got a clue what's going on a global level.
Okay. Well, Rachel, thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.